You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey everyone, welcome to Get It Right Texoma with the Texoma Trio, Mike, Terry, Trey, and our very special guest with us this week, and we're going to have guests off and on this podcast, but our very special guest this week is Wichita Falls Mayor Tim Short. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Very special.
Very special.
Am I the first?
you're the first guest.
You're the first official guest.
I was trying to set the expectation.
Yes.
For everybody that comes after.
Yeah, I think Casper the Ghost has shown up once or twice, at least.
Okay. By the way, let me address an elephant in the room. If you see my weird eye here.
Yeah.
I got smart with Terry and he smacked me.
Yeah.
No, I had a weekend fight with some mesquite trees. My arms are like that and everything. Good news is I won. I had some battle scars, but all of them are dead. So, if you live in North Texas, if you live in this part of the country or Texoma, you understand mesquite trees, and they'll get you. They'll jump out. They'll reach out and touch you very well.
So I'm going to make a recommendation to you, Trey.
Yeah.
Long sleeves, face shield.
Yeah. Well, I know. But that wouldn't be the redneck way to do it.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. You know, that's just it. Yeah, it wouldn't be.
Yeah. Yeah, the redneck way is, y'all watch this shit. Hold my beard.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Anyhow, let's get that. I just want to get that out of the way because I'm looking at Tim and he's probably going, what the hell's wrong with this guy's head?
So, just making sure it wasn't infectious.
Yeah, no.
We're good. Keep that pink eye over there.
No, this is blood. This is blood in the eye.
Please tell me it's not contagious.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
I've got enough going on.
I was going to say, unfortunately, that's a line that Mike's heard too many times. Please tell me it's not contagious.
What can I say?
I didn't want to insult Tim because he's right here. He can smack me. Mike's just a little farther away. So.
How long have you been on the job there, Mayor?
A little over 100 days.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Over 100 days.
And I'm sure it's been an adventure already, hasn't it?
It has been. It's been a wonderful adventure. You know, I've said for so long, and I will continue to say it, I love this city. I want other people to love it, too. And you know, some of these things we will learn together and we will do together. So,
yeah. And you also had some new council members that came in at the same time, right?
Yes, three of them.
Three
well,
new
two new ones.
Two new ones, right, and then one that was reelected.
District 4, District 5, and then Jeff Browning was reelected. So,
mm-hmm. So
yeah.
And this is his third term.
This is his last one. Yeah.
After three terms, you term out, and then
and Bobby's it's his last term, isn't it, as well? So there's going to be some turnover, mandated turnover in city council relatively soon.
Term limited, Bobby and Michael Smith. So
okay.
We'll have two coming up. So they will be up this November, and then we'll go a year without anybody having to run for anything, and then and then we'll start over. So
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
What has been your top three things that you've looked at and said, this is something that in this short period of time I've assessed, and this is my top three things that I want to address?
Okay. Well, I hate to number things.
Because
the math doesn't ever math. But, you know, I can probably come up, with
what
less or more.
What are more than two and less than four things that you want to address?
A good way to ask it.
Yeah.
Water security, which we'll get to, you know, here in a minute, I'm sure. Shepherd Air Force Base and economic development. So water security, we'll talk about Ringgold. We'll talk about maybe some other possibilities, some other things that are going on with that. Strengthening that relationship at Shepherd is vitally important. They are 35% of our local economy, which is wonderful, which is terrifying, all at the same time. So working on diversifying the missions and things that are going on there. I would say that we're actually for the first time taking a contingent to Washington, D.C. We're going to meet with our legislators, senators, congressmen. Those meetings are all set, and that'll be at the end of April. Very excited to be able to go with some of the folks from the chamber, some other people. Yeah. To talk to them in person. We have a consultant in Washington, D.C. now who is all they do is listen for, Shepherd Air Force Base, Wichita Falls. You know, they're paying attention to those things so we can be at the table. I said, if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu.
Yeah.
So well, that is extremely important.
Well, you work with the Shepherd Military Affairs Committee, no doubt.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm in the Shepherd Military Affairs Committee. I've been a member of that for a couple years, and Glenn Barham runs that. We were at a dinner last night. Had a general in town last night, awesome. and at the Delta Hotel, had a great dinner, got a great visit, and talked to them, learned a lot. But one of the best things I've learned from General Dietrich and from the general that I visited with last night was, the Air Force loves Wichita Falls. They know about Wichita Falls. They talk about Wichita Falls. They understand that Wichita Falls loves and takes care of them. So the first thing that General Dietrich talked to me about when I met him last year was not, how are we going to get, parts for the T-7 or for anything that's coming up? It was relationships. Mm-hmm. We have a great relationship with your city. Your city has a great relationship with us. And these gentlemen have served all over the world, have served all over the United States at these different bases. They see it and they feel it and they understand, they appreciate it.
Something,
and we have to strengthen that and keep that up.
Something you mentioned a moment ago, you're talking about economic development.
Right. That was going to be my third one because I had to come up. I had three. That was next.
Well, it wasn't mandated. Tim, it was. I'm sorry, Your Honor. It wasn't mandated. It was a request.
Unfunded mandate.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, before we go to your we've got a former leader of the military right here in France. Why don't you just blow a call in at the Pentagon there, Terry?
I'll call my peeps and
yeah.
Let them know we're coming.
Yeah.
Peeps. Is that what the kids call them now?
Yeah. And real quick, what Mayor Short did talk about, and this is true, when it comes to government affairs, lobbyists, and a consultant lobbyist, sure. Whatever you call it, but whether it's state of Texas or whether it's federal, you have to have a lobbyist. You have to have somebody who's there because not only do they lobby for you for initiatives you have, but they also play defense. Yeah. And that's big. That's very important. A lot of times that lobbyist is listening for Shepherd Air Force Base, yeah. Wichita Falls, and that, and they hear something like, oh, wait a minute, somebody who has a mission that's similar to Shepherd Air Force's base in Walla Walla, Washington, they want that mission type thing. And those lobbyists, that's what they help you listen for.
That's how that works. We've talked before that there was a mission at Luke Air Force Base last year, year before last, that when I get fact-checked, that an F-35 base, they moved to and ended up at a National Guard base in Arkansas. That, we were never, and we didn't know anything about it. 900 jobs went with that mission, to a base in Arkansas who, their town was tremendously affected. 900 jobs, you drop that here in Wichita Falls, it changes an awful lot of things.
Jeez,
and
yes.
We never knew it happened. We knew it happened after it happened.
Wow.
So, after it was done.
Yeah. So we have to have people up there for the first time. We have people up there that are listening. We're going so we can meet with our folks and let them know how much we appreciate it. And another thing that I am bringing back, and it'll be in the odd years, we're going to have Wichita Falls Days in Austin. We're going to go back down there. They haven't gone in a while. And we're going to take bus loads down there and see James Frank and everybody
That's
else.
Good idea.
All right.
As a group. So you were
all
asking
right.
about economic development.
Yeah, and I want to point out, I just noticed this. It's purely coincidental, but the pen that I'm using this morning actually says, Tim Short for mayor. Just so you all know.
Came true.
There we go.
And you couldn't even vote.
Prophetic.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
It's the prophetic awesome. Pen.
Yes.
The prophetic pen. Anyway, economic development, I think everyone would agree locally. One of the things that we need to do, because you talked about how Shepherd's 35% of our economy.
Right.
And it's exciting and scary at the same time. And that is a little bit scary when you think, well, what if that mission did leave here? How do you replace that? And I think rather than waiting for something, waiting for an oh my God moment, we got to do something, we got to do it now. One of the ways you get in front of that is through economic development. You try to diversify our economy, bring other things here that can not only enhance the existing economy, but hopefully help us maintain should something major change out there.
Right.
I think having eyes and ears on the ground in Washington is wonderful and perfect. And I personally, you look at the mission at Shepherd, you look how long they've been here and what they've done. It really doesn't seem feasible that they would just uproot that and move it somewhere else indefinitely.
Right.
But
But you never know.
But you never know.
You don't. One of the things you don't want to find out about it once it's done.
No.
You know. Every time I talk about this, someone will inevitably will say, Chanute, Illinois.
Yeah.
You know,
Lowry Air Force Base.
I don't want to be the mayor when that happens. So,
exactly.
So you know, Lubbock, Texas, several years ago, lost Reese Air Force Base.
Yeah. Yes.
A major portion of their economy, even with Texas Tech, with the Texas Instruments, everything else that they had. So, what did they do? What could they do? They may be the model. I mean, God forbid we ever find out, but they literally turned it into a retirement village. Probably the most secure retirement village in the entire United States because the fencing was still up. They used the housing. It had an incredible golf course, you know, the swimming pool, community center. I mean, it's a commissary. You know, they utilized all of the things that were there.
And
thought outside the box, much as I hate to say that term, but and you know it, they're thriving. They doubled their population. You know, I mean, not that we're going to do that, or you know that's going to happen, but they didn't just sit around and drop and blow away.
Smart.
Well, but can you imagine though?
They were proactive.
If our population increased by, I'd not say double, because that'd be 210,000-215,000.
No.
But say we increased to 130,000 over a period of time,
right?
The economic impact of that is tremendous.
Right.
Because those people, most of them are going to buy homes. Well, right. They're going to be paying property taxes. They're going to be shopping here. They're going to pay sales taxes. The economic impact of growth cannot be understated. It really can't.
No, but you know, you have to be aware of your current infrastructure, what you have, what your city can handle, your streets, you know, your roads, your pipes, you know, what housing inventory, you know, those kind of things, and what you have to be aware of those type of things.
Right.
So you can't just, you know, dump that kind of population on it.
Well, but don't
you? It's a slow growth, a good, steady, consistent, sustainable growth.
What is that? What is a slow growth? What is a good slow growth?
Because
I was just doing a calculation here on that topic.
I think we're experiencing it.
Right.
You know.
1%? Is that too fast?
You know, what I would be happy with would be if we just grew at the rate that the state of Texas grows at.
Well.
I mean, if they're growing at 4%, if they're growing at 3.8%, you know, if that's your measure, that would be a fantastic thing.
Well, okay, so let's just throw the number out. Mm-hmm. You don't really think about this much, but 100,000 people, just over 100,000, so let's just keep it easy.
Yeah.
1% is 1,000 people. If you do that annually, that's 1,000 people. You could get to 130,000 people. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's the compound.
And there's
part
people
of that.
Leaving at the same time.
Right. But if we could grow 1,000 people a year, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
Well, there's a saying
in
there's a saying out here that nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd.
Yeah,
yeah, true.
So if you want to attract more of a crowd,
right.
Once that momentum starts to build, and just look at any community in America that has seen that momentum happen,
right.
And they will tell you there is a multiplier effect to that.
Right. Of course, it is.
We have that momentum right now, and we're experiencing it. Currently, in Wichita Falls, Texas, we have $747 million worth of commercial construction going on. $400 million of that is happening at the state hospital, which is incredible. $43 million at MSU, $60 million at Vitro, $134 million at Westlake, and $19 million at the city. I mean, you know, when you add those things up, and most of the work, I know at the city, 95% of the contractors are local. Mm-hmm. So they're doing what they can. You know, when you spend those dollars locally, they turn over 7 times in your local economy.
Right.
You spend it at a national retailer, God love them, we want them here, that money goes home, you know, to wherever home is for them.
Right.
But local business, Terry, that money that's spending here goes over, you know, rolls over in our city an average of 7 different times.
When I was on the school board.
That affects a lot of people.
When I was on the school board, I was involved in 3 major, two major bonds but had major builds, and that was the absolute focus, and that was one of those things that we all agreed on, but I was very staunch about is, there's understandable, there's times you have specialized masonry and stuff, right, that there's nobody here in Wichita Falls that can do, right, it. We,
right,
get that.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you have so much going on that you yeah, basically run out of your contractors.
Yeah.
But you want to push as make as much as you can absolutely local. Yeah.
Well, there's going to – some of that growth, you know, we chase the rabbit of saying we have to go get industry. We have business here that yeah, has to be taken care of, you know, that is being mentored, that is being helped. The, sure, Chamber has programs to do those type of things.
Right.
They're working with our local ones. We can't forget them.
Right.
But we can walk and chew gum. We, yeah, can do more than, yeah, one thing at the same time. We can attract other industry, and we are. There is two weeks ago at our meeting, we approved the contract for the sale of 28 acres at our industrial park out there. Mm-hmm. There's a national distribution center that is moving on those 28 acres. As you drive in from Clay County, you see Wichita Clutch now. Mm-hmm. It won't be the first thing that you see when this is all completed, hopefully in 2025.
Oh, they're going to build a building. They're not just buying 28 acres for a district. They're not just going to set them out there.
No, they are not.
No.
So that's another chunk of money, because you can't build buildings cheap.
Exactly.
It's going to be
expensive. And you know, it was and that was incredible. That's 150 plus jobs, you know, mm-hmm, just right there.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Westlake. They were adding 50 jobs at $68,000 to $93,000 a piece. So we're, wow, not talking minimum wage jobs, no, on some of these. These are we've visited before. We've all talked a lot before. But when we talk about some of the folks that are coming here to look at us that are considering moving to Wichita Falls and spending their money here, they're site selectors. They said, well, you know, because they're bringing some employees with them, mm-hmm, they're going to hire local. They're going to bring some of their folks with them, and they want to know. I want my folks to be able to buy a house, you know, yeah, when they're here. So what's your average price of housing? You know, how is it with first-time home buyers? Yeah. What are your programs for these different type of things?
And I know somebody who could help you with that.
I know. I was getting there. But one thing that was interesting that I probably knew and forgot was that they measure commutes in minutes and not miles anymore. And so they'll say, we would like our employees to have commutes of less than 12 minutes. Well, I don't know how long it took you to get here from. Well, it took you a while to get here from Berkeley.
Well, morning, yeah,
but, you know, and we want them in Wichita Falls, but you know, that's not a model that fits in Houston or San Antonio, yeah, or the Metro Mets or any.
Even if you're within Wichita County, if you're driving from Burt Burnett or Electra or Iowa Park or whatever, or even Lakeside City across the line in Archer County, you can be in Wichita Falls. You can be in the heart of Wichita Falls in about 15 minutes, right, from wherever you are as an outlier.
Electra might be tough.
We check a lot of those boxes.
Iowa Park is for
20,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We check a lot of those boxes.
I'm 20 miles from my, I'm 20 minutes from my doorstep at my house to my doorstep to my business.
Right. Exactly.
And I'm downtown Wichita Falls. I'm 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We check a lot of those boxes, yeah, for those places.
But if you live in Wichita Falls, you can be anywhere in 10, yeah, for sure.
We have an incredible electric grid here that Oncor set up and that helps feed those things. Those things don't have to be put in. With 287 and with 44, we have the highway system. I met with the TxDOT commissioner. Yeah. You know, a lot of this growth, we're actively seeking. However, some of it is just organically coming.
It's happening. Yeah.
It there will be around these two big, beautiful high schools. You can't stop it. There are developers that are you know, working on the plans out there. There are streets that don't even have names yet. There will be Stripes, a Sonic, you know, Starbucks is already going in.
All American Car Wash is already going in over there, by Memorial.
There'll be a bank branch. There'll be, you know, besides the homes and things that grow up around this. So we can't stop it. These are things that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So there. There has to be a place to house all of these people. And I think the last one that I can think of on that right now is, you know, this hydrogen plant in Oakley Union is $4 billion.
Yeah.
A lot of those people that will work there, that they will live here.
Well, yeah,
it's
have
a
to.
30-minute commute for them to go.
Yeah, Oakley Union is not a metropolis.
They're
so going
to come into town, and they're going to drive by two brand-new schools to get there.
Yes.
They're going to live in and around Wichita Falls. Some of them will live in Vernon. Some of them will live in the country out there. Some may live in Seymour. But for just for personal preference, but we're going to be the beneficiary of an awful lot of that.
Well, we know
as far as a hydrogen plant goes, I'm glad that it's going where it's. You don't want that downtown.
No.
You want that, you know, 30-40 miles away. So it's perfect. And where a lot of these people are moving from and will move from, a 30-minute commute.
There's nothing.
Well, yeah, and the commute itself is not a frustrating commute.
No, you're driving.
you're moving. You're moving. Yeah.
No, it's the whole way. 287 is not Loop 820. No. You're not bumper to bumper traffic going 80 miles an hour or and stopping.
Even the 101, or especially the 101 freeway in California. Yeah. Oh. You go to Los Angeles. No. Yeah, they measure it in hours.
We don't have that.
So no.
Yes.
Our last topic we probably need to get to here was number one was water security.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I will be the first to admit, I've had a lot of doubts about this Lake Ringgold project. I've had a lot of questions about it. A lot of the math in my head I couldn't make work. But you've shared some things with us privately that it's like, okay, now some of this is making sense now if we're doing it this way.
Right.
So let's talk about that. Ringgold has been on the radar since before any of us were born.
1952.
And so, yeah. So this is something this is something that's been on the radar in the planning stages or at least on paper for decades now.
Right.
And now we're finally at a point where things are starting to come to fruition.
They were
kind of walk us through how we got to where we are here.
Initially it was supposed to be Ringgold and Arrowhead at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Political powers that be at the time didn't do Ringgold, decided on Arrowhead. It's worked for an awful long time. It still works.
Mm-hmm.
So the city didn't wake up and say one morning, hey, let's put a lake over here. This is from the water availability model. It's from the TRWD. There are several other different, you know, initials for some of those. I may have some of those backwards or inverted, but the intent is not to mislead. They have chosen that as the last best place in North Texas for a reservoir. So 16,000 acres, 50 feet deep.
That's deep.
It's deep enough.
It's much deeper than Arrowhead.
Yeah. So, you know, all of those things were identified by the state, by the government entities that be as to why it would be there. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is being pursued. Now, there are, I understand both sides of it. I've met with landowners. I've met with, Judge Campbell. I've talked to everybody, you know, not everybody, but I've talked to an awful lot of people in Clay County mm-hmm. that are involved that are not happy about it. And we have ongoing conversations.
Sure.
I understand.
Sure.
But if, we have two lakes right now that, three if you count Kemp, and we're still at 50 some odd percent, mm-hmm. And it's March as we're doing this heading into summer. So praying for more rain, which is supposed to come today. Mm-hmm. We don't want to stop doing that. But if you just can't convince me that if we have those lakes, if we have another one, we don't have more water. I mean, it's just simple. Even if that lake is at 50% along with the other ones, we still have more water. So there's a lot of reasons. But one of the things we talked about, paying for this $400 million lake. Well, when we put that water reuse project into effect, it was $126 million. Mm-hmm. Okay. We've almost got that paid off. It'll be paid off in 26. We pay $12 million a year to pay that off. So we're almost there. We will bank that $12 million after that.
Yeah. The water reuse project goes back to 2015, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You bank that $12 million for 10, 20 years as you're going along. You've got half what you need as a down payment. Walk mm-hmm. on any car dealership and tell them you're going to put down half and finance the rest, and they're tickled.
Well, and not just that. You're banking that money and you're grading interest on it as well.
Exactly.
It's not like you're putting that money in the bank and it's drawing half a percent.
Exactly. So there is money available that doesn't hurt, that doesn't hit your pocketbook right now, more. And then when it comes time to actually, pay the full amount, the state of Texas has their water fund. They get very creative. They have low interest, no interest. They've just built two in Fannin County right now, mm-hmm. Bulldark, and I can't remember the name of the other one, that are incredible. You know, so they are still building those now. All of this being said, talking to so many people, there are alternatives to doing things. People say, well, go dredge it. Go dredge Lake Arrowhead. Go dredge, you know, Kickapoo. Go do that.
Go dredge Lake Wichita. People have offered to do that for free.
Can't drink it. However, it's not drinkable water. But
no, I know, but that's the BS that we've heard for years.
Well, I know.
They could dredge it for free.
Yeah. Shepherd was going to do it for us.
Yeah,
they weren't going to give it. I know.
We all know that this is BS, and we've covered that plenty of times.
And they weren't going to give away the soil for free.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Nobody was gonna do it for free. Nobody does that. No.
But, you know, so there are... you ever been to a lake? You go to a recreational lake, you go skiing, you go water tubing, you're riding around in your boat, and has any of you in your lifetime ever said, hey, watch out for that dredge? No. That's why you don't see them on all the lakes, and it's not a popular thing to do because of the expense. Now, there are some I'm for whatever it takes to build water security for us and for our region. We are the regional water supplier for 15 communities and entities here, so...
We have to have it.
We die without it. So, there may be. I talked about walking and chewing gum. There's probably more than one way to get there. I just feel like Lake Ringgold is one of the ways in order to get there. We've kicked the can, and I've said I didn't want my grandchildren and great grandchildren to say that I had an opportunity to do something about it and didn't. So we are simply asking to move forward with the permitting process, and hopefully between April and June, we have an answer from the TECQ about our permit being approved, and then we can continue having the discussions about whether it's feasible to run pipelines, whether it's feasible to dredge some of these places, whatever it takes to get more water. We met with Senator Perry last week. He has some great ideas. He's in charge of it. He has some great ideas that couldn't share them all, but he has some about some ways to help the entire state of Texas, because the entire state is growing and the entire state needs that water.
I got a question on that. Sure. Can Oklahoma participate at all in this?
Okay. They can. They have been asked, and there was supposed to be a pipeline and a water sale and things happening before, and then, you know, it didn't come. It didn't work. I'm not sure who's to blame for it, but not pointing fingers, but it didn't end up working out as to what they were thinking. So it can be very expensive. So some of the pipeline was and getting a partner. So let's split this with Fort Worth. Let's split the cost of. There may be a partner come along, you know, in the grand scheme and the expense, but they did their water study, and they said, we will have to take 100% of the water from Lake Ringgold for 100 years to make it worth their expense. So they backed out.
Probably not a good idea.
Help us at all.
So, you know, it's an ongoing issue.
Tell them they can take it in 500 years.
Yeah.
They can get 100%. We get the first 500 years. We'll take
the money.
Yeah.
I understand. So every part of it brings up another issue.
Sure.
I just want things to start moving forward.
Momentum.
And to get that momentum and to do it. Last thing on water, I think about that when we were talking about industry and talking about some of the, they say, how or why would people move here while, you know, we're in the water, you know, positions that we're in? Well, that reuse project saves us.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be used as a weapon against us,
right?
You know, for the reason you don't need to do anything else. It is a bridge to what we need to do in the future. It's not a sword. It didn't solve every problem, but it's keeping us where we are. And a lot of these industries that we're talking to, actually, you'll get a kick out of this. They like the reuse. We're almost woke because it's so forward thinking, and you know, it's recycled and it's environmentally friendly.
We're accidentally woke.
It is easier for them to sell that to their boards look what great stewards of, which is true.
There's nothing wrong with recycling and stuff like that. Just don't be militant and crazy about it.
Whatever makes sense. It's wonderful. We have it. We're using it. That is on their list besides the commutes and everything else.
You know,
we have recycled water.
And here's what I would tell people. We need people, the people, and I know it's a small number, but the people that are continually running the city down, talking down about the community, making fun of all this stuff, talking about what a lousy place this is to live or be or whatever. And there's a handful, there's a little cabal of people out there that do that all the time. They get on, you know, social media is just giving them a new platform to sit there and complain.
Keyboard warriors.
The cave people. Yeah. Citizens Against Virtually Everything.
They're keyboard warriors, and they got keyboard muscles.
Yeah. And that's it. That's got to stop. Stop running the city down. Stop running the plans down. Stop running down any opportunity. Look, you disagree with it. That's fine. You can disagree with it. But educate yourself on it. Learn more about it, like I did. Learn more about it and figure out, okay, maybe this is not such a bad idea after all.
Right. And or understand. Maybe you decide it's not good once you've researched it and you disagree. That's okay too.
Yes.
But just come from a point of knowledge,
right,
and rather than a point of stupidity.
Right.
That's
exactly. Right.
Well, I guess top two issues about it, negatives about it, would be the cost, which is you've addressed,
absolutely,
and taking of land.
Absolutely.
That is that, and that can't be taken lightly. I mean, no. we argued what with Thornberry and them trying to save the water or the part of the Red River,
right,
mm-hmm, property, yeah, and everything. And right, this is not that. This is bigger than that in that regard.
Eminent domain. So, that's what, yeah, I said. I've met with. I hate it. You know, yeah, eminent domain happens every day in
sure
Texas.
Sure.
It happens widening highways, widening streets. You know, and developers on land. It happens all the time.
Right.
I hate it. I hate every bit of that,
yeah,
and like I said, I've met with the homeowner or the landowners out there and visited, yeah, with. I can't make that, yeah, part of it go away.
Right. Well, and it's yeah, a lot of things. We always, you know, you mentioned it earlier, the word, but you know, yes, we don't want to do that. We hate it,
I know.
But well, there's an and really. It can be terrible, and that. However, we do again, but there has to be something done,
right,
and you hope that. You do the best you can, and you just compensation, all that kind of
exactly
stuff.
Exactly.
Well, first and foremost is going to be the decision from TCEQ, which within the next 90-ish days.
April to June, we hope.
Somewhere within that time frame.
Right. Yeah. And then that just sets the future. Are we appealing a decision, or are we moving forward with a decision,
right,
they have?
Right.
So somebody gets to spike the football, you know, when they do that, like they do. We talked about the administrative judge that did not recommend this, and I've invited them, come to Wichita Falls. I will drive you around. I know where the cheeseburgers are, and I know where to take you, but let's go look at our lakes. You come to Wichita Falls. I'll take you to Kickapoo. I'll take you to Arrowhead. I'll take you to Lake Kemp. And you stand there and honestly tell me that we have enough water.
We'll get you a big glass of water right out of Lake Kemp.
Sure. Well, but we'll go to the reuse project. Yeah. You know, he can see the bridge that I, yeah, call, uh-huh, it. You know, yeah, that's keeping us going, and, yeah, why we're almost at 50%, and folks are still able to water their yard a couple days a week. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but I've invited them to come up. Heard nothing, you know, back. But I just at this point, we're not going to let an administrative judge in Austin derail a process like that. Mm-hmm, that to my knowledge, hasn't been here, isn't coming here. And makes a decision, you know, simply off of,
yeah,
what they've read. So,
yeah, Mayor Tim Short, man, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
We enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It's amazing how time flies by when there's a lot of interesting stuff.
And there's a lot more we can talk about, right, and we will have you back soon, and we'll cover some more topics. We'll cover some more stuff.
I think the goal is we're gonna try to have some key people, and Mayor Short is one of them, yeah, and have them on a semi-regular basis.
Yes.
So keep a watch out for that. We want to keep people up to date and. Yeah. Tim's going to be one of our keys to that.
Great. Right. And transparent and positive.
Yep. Yep. And so on that, please tell your friends, share this. You know, we're doing it as an audio podcast that we're also recording. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be able to find it all on your favorite podcast platform. Apple Podcasts,
right,
Google, whatever theirs
is. I think we're going to go above Rogan on Spotify, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. We're
on target.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
we're coming for you, Joe. We're coming for you.
Nobody here is going to smoke pot, though.
No. Not here.
But it's also on YouTube and
yes,
maybe some other platforms. But but definitely please share it.
Guys, thank you. We'll see you down the road with the next episode of Get It Right Tech Selma. Take care. Until then.